Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So welcome to Wednesday night service. I'm glad you came out. Glad y'all are here. It's kind of filled up since we started. I was like, where's everybody at? And I look back and I'm like, oh, there they are. Wow. Glad you could make it. So tonight, we're going to be talking about some demonic activity. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds fun, right? Yeah. So... I teach on the book of Revelation. I do a lot of study on the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about in the end time that there's an increase of demonic activity. So in the latter days, there's an increase in demonic activity. What I thought was interesting when we see Jesus's life, he went around and there was a ton of demonic activity. There was a ton of demonic activity going on. Well, before his second coming, there's going to be a lot of demonic activity going on. And I think sometimes we miss it. Yeah. We miss what's going on. We miss that spiritual battle. We want to rationalize everything. We want to think that it's just, you know, it's just mental problems, or it's, you know, we put it in a box, right? The new thing nowadays is these young girls are cutting themselves, right? You know, and I have prayed a lot about that, and the Lord has shown me it is demonic activity. There was a man in the tombs that Jesus went to that was cutting himself. It's demonic activity. But so instead of the church actually attacking the spiritual forces behind these things, we just want to give people therapy and pills, and that's not going to work, folks. We need to actually do some battle. In Mark chapter 3, verse 27, we're going to be talking about this tonight. Jesus said this. He said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So I'm going to explain a little bit about this, what it means to bind and loose things, okay? In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, I don't even know how to pronounce that. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we see here Jesus now giving these keys, and the keys represent authority, right? And he's given them to Peter and the disciples. Now he's not just giving them to Peter. A lot of people say, oh, he gave the authority to Peter, and he built his church upon Peter, and that's not what's going on here, okay? What is going on here? Peter, he says, Simon Peter, right, says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has revealed this to you. He says, but I say to you that you are Peter. So now he changes his name from Simon to Peter. So Jesus is saying, Simon, I'm going to change your name, Peter, and it's Petros. He says, your name is Petros, and it means a small rock. And he says, and upon this rock, and it's big rock, it's Petra, it means a massive rock or a cliff. So he says, Simon, he says, I'm changing your name to Little Rock, and upon your confession that Jesus is Christ, with this authority, that is what I'm building my church on. The church was not built on Peter, folks. Peter was a man. And I don't know if you recognize this, Peter, he was crucified upside down. Because he refused to be crucified like Jesus was. Peter denied Christ three times. Peter was a faulty man. The church was not built upon Peter. It was built upon Peter's confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Savior. In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20, we see here more of this binding and loosing. He says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, and that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word of God may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector." Verse 18, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So this binding and loosing here, this was a very common Jewish phraseology. It was a legal term. So when Christ is talking to his Jewish disciples that understood Jewish law and Jewish tradition, it was a legal term. Binding and loosing was a legal term. Now, it means to declare something forbidden or to declare it allowed. So when he says to whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, he says whatever you declare to be forbidden on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatsoever you loose, whatever you declare to be accepted on earth will be accepted in heaven. He's given the church this authority to bind and loose things, to declare whatsoever is good will be good in heaven. Whatsoever is forbidden will be forbidden in heaven. He's given the church this authority because we have the Holy Spirit to lead us in these things. Now, there's a general authority of binding and loosing by preaching the word of God. This would be the means of opening the kingdom of heaven to all who believe and shutting it against unbelievers. So through the gospel, right, that's a key of authority of binding and loosing of by preaching the gospel. It's opening up the kingdom of heaven to those that receive it, and it's closing those that don't. It's closing heaven to those that will not receive it. We see this with Peter walking now in Acts 2:38, right? Where Peter's on the day of Pentecost, Peter came before them and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He was binding and loosing. He was declaring whatsoever is good, and he was declaring whatsoever is forbidden. Okay? Now, the complex Greek construction behind "shall be bound" and "shall be loosed" points to the complete adequacy of Jesus' death on the cross. It means that everything that we need to be bound and loosed, everything that's forbidden or good, right, was done at Calvary. It was completed at Calvary, okay? This binding and loosing, these keys, this is the authority that has been given to those who are in Christ in order to overcome the devil, to bind demons and disease, and to loose the prisoners of sin, addiction, and sickness from their bondage and captivity unto salvation. It was not just giving to Peter, it was giving to all who are in Christ. That authority has been passed on to those who are in Christ to bind and loose things on this earth. Okay? Now, Matthew 16:18 says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Yes. Because of this authority of binding and loosing, because of what Christ did on the cross, and that because the church is operating in the authority of binding and loosing things, the gates of hell will not prevail. Okay? Now, this does not mean that any particular believer, church, or denomination will be immune to doctrinal error or otherwise be overcome by sin or Satan. That's not what it means. It means the church that Jesus Christ is building, the church, right, all over the world, the church that Christ is building, no devil in hell can stop it. That's what it means. God's true church will rise up in faith with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to righteously assault Satan's kingdom and domain of darkness by delivering people from sin, disease, bondage, and oppression.
Right.
Okay, stay with me here. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," meaning Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." So what's saying here is that Jesus in heaven looses the authority of his word as it goes forth on the earth to fulfill its purpose, and then he ratifies what is done in his name. He's loosened the authority of the word as we walk in that power, and he ratifies things that we do in his name. Does that make sense? The binding and loosing is an already accomplished provision because of Jesus' work on the cross. Christ has already overcome the enemy. Okay? He's already did that. He's already overcome the enemy. Go back to Mark chapter 3 again. We're going to read this whole thing. Starting in verse 20, it says, "The multitude came together again, so they could not much as eat bread. But when his own people heard this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons." Now, they're talking about Jesus here. "So he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." So Jesus entered the strong man's house when he came into the world. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Jesus entered the strong man's house when he came into the world, and he plundered his house. Means he set those free that were enslaved to Satan. Okay? And now we are called to use that same authority of binding, declaring something forbidden, and loosing, declaring something allowed, to set the captives free by plundering the strong man.
Right.
So Christ set the example. He said, "I've already done it. I've already done it. Now in my name, you need to go out and walk in that authority
yes.
that I've given you."
Yes.
We are called to use that same authority.
Yes.
We've been given that same authority. We're supposed to be going out waging spiritual warfare. Look at the New Testament church, folks. That's what they did. They went out doing what Jesus did. They went out conquering Satan's kingdom. They went out taking down Satan's kingdom. We're not supposed to just sit here and do nothing. We're supposed to go out and conquer Satan's kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been given that authority now to do that. So there's spiritual conflict. We're going to talk about spiritual conflict. It involves three aspects here. The first thing is that we need to declare war against Satan according to God's purpose. See, and it's what people don't understand. Satan has already declared war against you.
Yeah.
And so if you're not going to declare war against him, you're just going to sit down and take it.
Yeah.
Because he's already declared war against you. And so you have got to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And it is real.
Yeah.
It is a real spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So if you don't recognize that we wrestle against spiritual things in high places, you're going to lose the battle. You've got to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. There's actually demonic activity going on out there. Now, I do not think everything is of the devil, right? The devil made me do it. I mean, you know, people walk around, everything's the devil. And I'm like, no, you wanted to do that. Your flesh wanted to do that. Stop blaming the devil for that, right? But there is clearly demonic activity going on. And if we don't have spiritual eyes to see, we're not going to be able to come against it. And we have to come against it. We are called to enter Satan's house and plunder it. The second thing is enter Satan's house. That's anywhere he has a stronghold, attacking and overpowering him by prayer and the proclamation of the word of God. It's the word that brings that light. It's the word that brings healing. He sent his word and healed them, right? If you are just doing good and not proclaiming the word, you're just doing good works. We are called to tear down Satan's kingdom. There, folks, people are taken prisoner by him. And if we don't recognize this, that we've got to do spiritual battle, look at Paul's life. Look what he went out and did. Look what Peter, James, right? All the first apostles, what did they do? They went out to preach the gospel and tear down Satan's kingdom. Jesus went about doing good, but the good that he did was the Father's will in tearing down Satan's kingdom. He didn't just go about loving people. He had a purpose. He went down to destroy Satan's kingdom, to plunder it, to bring back the captives. Luke 11, 20-23 says, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come unto you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters." She said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not doing my work, you're against me. You're scattering. Okay? The third thing in spiritual conflict here, we're supposed to carry off his possessions. We're supposed to deliver those who have been held captive by Satan's power and give them over to God. In Acts 26, 17 through 18, it says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." We are supposed to turn people from darkness to light. From Satan to God. Okay? This is what we're supposed to be doing. Now, do you ever wonder why the early church and the disciples had so much power? Because I mean, it is lacking in today's church. It's clearly lacking in today's church. They walked in the authority that Christ gave them. Demons are real, and they know who you are like they know who Paul is. They know who you are. I had a friend of mine that was an evangelist, and he would go into the prisons all the time, and he was telling me this one time, this prison he went into, and this is the first time he walked into it, and he was walking down the row, and one of the prisoners yelled out, "Mahaney, what are you doing here? Leave!" This person didn't know him. It was a demonic voice that was crying out, telling him, "Don't come here. Don't come here. We don't want your gospel. We don't want that." He He's like, demons are real, folks. These things are real. We don't want to see that there's a spiritual battle going on. How many people believe in angels? Oh, we want to believe in angels, but you don't want to believe that there's demons? that are actually keep people blinded? It says the prince of this world has people blinded. The sons of disobedience are blinded. We've got to bring light in order that people can see. Because they're blinded. The second one, first of all, right? You got to recognize that you're in a spiritual battle. You got to recognize that we are battling against real demons here. The second thing is that you need to live before God fervently committed to his truth and righteousness. Sin is the strongest armor wherein the strong man trusts. Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? Therefore, if Satan has any hold on you, you cannot deliver others from this power.
Yeah.
You can't deliver others from the power of Satan if you are giving in to Satan yourself. We must not let sin reign in our body. To tamper with sin of any kind will quench the power of the Holy Spirit, by which is our only power in which to bind the strong man.
Yes.
You've got to get it out. You have to make an entire cleavage with sin on the ground at Calvary and set your choice to serve God at any cost. You got to make a complete break with sin if you're going to overcome Satan.
Yes.
You have to. This is why he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, in order to overcome sin so we can go out and be actual light to people. You cannot dabble in the enemy's playfield and expect to go out and release people from the enemy. That's not how it works. And I'll share my experience with this. When I got saved back in 94, I don't even remember anymore. I think it was. I came out of a background of drugs and alcohol, and God completely took that from me. And I didn't drink for a long time. I didn't want to have anything to do with anything. Drugs, alcohol, or whatever, and about probably 10 years in, something like that, I don't remember how many years in, I began just having a little glass of wine every now and then. And the Lord said, Crystal, that is not for you. And I would go around and I would ask other people that I knew, and it's like, do you drink? And they're like, yeah, I have a glass of wine every now and then. I'm like, oh, they're a good Christian. They love the Lord. They drink. It's okay. And I was reconciling that in my own heart. And God would say, Crystal, that's not for you. And so as I began to disobey God in this, the things that God had delivered me from began coming back on me. I had a huge spirit of fear. I walked in anxiety and panic for a lot of years, and it was debilitating. If anybody's ever had panic attacks, it's debilitating. And I suffered from it really bad for a really long time. And as I began to have this wine again, those things came back that God had delivered me from. And I would cry out to God, and I was like, God, why is this coming back? I got rid of that. And he said, you're allowing it back on. Satan cannot cast out Satan. You are operating in disobedience. And so you're allowing those things back on you. Now, I was not possessed, people, okay? There's a difference between possession and oppression. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can't be possessed by a demon, but you can certainly be oppressed by one. Because they like to oppress. They certainly like to oppress. And so I was oppressed by this thing. Now, some of y'all may not believe me, and it's okay. I don't care. It's what happened. It's my testimony. I finally told God, after struggling this for a long time and being disobedient for a long time, I said, Lord, I'm done with this. If I never touch another... And listen, I wasn't getting drunk. Drunkenness is a sin. And so I wasn't getting drunk. And so I reconciled that in my mind that I wasn't getting drunk. And I was like, God, I'm not getting drunk. I'm just having a glass. Yeah. If you're getting drunk, it's a sin, just so you know. You're opening the door wide open for Satan to run all over you. And so I'm not getting drunk. God, I'm just having a glass. It's helping my anxiety. And he's like, oh no, it ain't helping your anxiety. It's making it worse. So I finally told God, I said, I'm done, God, I'm done. I said, I never have to touch it again. I don't care. I love you more than I love wine. Yeah. And I loved wine, folks, okay? I did. I loved it a lot. But God said, it's not for you. And I said, God, I love you more than I love this thing. And I completely surrendered again, and I just gave it up. And I literally felt something kick me back. It kicked me back. Like, I was down on my knees, and it kicked me back. There was a demonic spirit that was oppressing me because I was allowing this into my life through disobedience. And I wasn't able to overcome it because of the disobedience in my life. You don't have to believe me. It's my story. I'm sticking to it. But it's, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are real. And they are after you. And if you have any sin in your life, you are leaving yourself wide open for attack from the enemy. And you will not be able to overcome it in your own life, and you're certainly not going to be able to overcome it in anybody else's life. You got to get rid of it. The third thing, you have faith that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to realize that there is nothing that the power of Jesus cannot overcome. There's no sin, there's no addiction, there's no disease. There is no weapon of the enemy that Jesus cannot destroy and overcome. Right. See, some people have this mindset of, well, you know, Satan, he's so powerful, how am I going to do this? He is not. He is not God's exact evil opposite. People get this idea, right, that Satan is all-knowing and all-seeing and can do all things. No, no, and no. He is a created being. He's not the opposite of God. God created him. The devil cannot read your mind. He can't read your heart. God can. God can read our mind and God can read our heart. The devil can't do these things. And so we raise him up on this pedestal. We're not supposed to fear anything but a healthy fear of God. That's it. You're not supposed to fear the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Yes. You have to realize that. You have to realize the Holy Spirit in me is greater than anything that will attack me. Anything. The Holy Spirit in me will overcome anything that's going to come against me. Anything. If you don't realize this, you need to get in your word. Number four, in binding the straw man, you need to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes. How do we do this? Use the authority of Jesus' name. Acts 3:6 says, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, where is that power? That's what I want to know. Well, we want to go around, here, guy, let me just give you some money. That'll make you feel better. Well, where's the power that says, you know, I don't have anything to give you, but what I do have is the Holy Spirit inside me, and so I'm going to proclaim healing over you in Jesus' name. It's because we don't have the boldness to do that, for one thing. And we're not walking in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. The name above all names. The name that is greater than anything. That Jesus said, you can do all things in my name. Why do we not? Why do we not? When I was a kid, and I remember this, I was a rule follower, man. I followed the rules completely. I was a rule follower. So if you caught me doing anything outside of school that I was supposed to do, it was because I had authority to do it. And I let them know I had authority to do it. A teacher would say, Crystal, what are you doing out in the hallways? Oh, Principal so-and-so said I could be out here. Just so you know, Principal so-and-so said I could be out here. We have that authority. Jesus gave me the authority. I have the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.
Yes.
Why are we not praying for people like that anymore?
Yes.
Folks, the gospel has not changed in 2,000 years.
Right. Right.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Still the same. We need to use the authority of Jesus' name. His name carries authority. Here's what it is, though. If you do not know him, don't use his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better make sure you know him.
Yeah.
You better make sure you know him. You go trying to cast out demons or do anything in the name of Jesus, and demons said, well, Jesus I know, but I don't know who you are. They recognize that authority of Jesus in me. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, don't be trying to operate in his name. You better make sure you're full of the Holy Spirit. You got that name written on you. The next thing about proclaiming the gospel, you need to know God's word. You need to know God's word. Man, I don't know how much I can just cram that into people. Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see a branch or shoot of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it.
Yes.
Isaiah 55, 11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. See, God watches over his word to make sure that this word entirely gets performed. So if you don't know it, God's not performing it. Not in your life, someone else's life. He watches over his word to perform it. He makes sure that his word goes out with authority. And he ratifies it in his name. God's word is 100% true and accurate, and everything in it will be performed. Everything. It will come to pass. Just because you don't understand it doesn't make it not true. It's true. See, some of us, you can't come against the attacks of Satan because you don't even know what God's word says. Really? It's a shame. It's shameful that the church of the living God doesn't know what his word says. If we're going to do spiritual battle, we got to know what God says. We got to know what he says about things. We got to know what his word says. We've got to know what his word says. You can't bind or loose anything. You can't declare it to be forbidden because you don't even know what forbidden is. How do you declare something forbidden when you don't even know what things are forbidden? You can't. We need to stop listening to the world and those well thought out memes. Folks, even some of the Christian songs, they're completely not in line with God's word. Completely.
Yep, it's true.
We have to know God's word.
Yeah.
In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches, and Five of the seven received condemnations that were extremely harsh, extremely harsh. And there's only two of them that just received commendations. And one of them was the Church of Philadelphia. And if you've heard of that, the Church of Philadelphia. And this is what he said about them in Revelation 3:8. He said, "You have kept my word and not denied my name." That's what he said. That was what he was commending them for. Not for their good works, not for their love. "You kept my word and you didn't deny my name." Well, how do you keep his word if you don't know what his word says? This church endured opposition from the world and resisted conforming to the evil trends of other churches. They persevered in loyalty to Jesus and his word. Folks, that church was highly persecuted. The churches in Revelation were highly persecuted by the Roman Empire. Extremely, highly, I don't know how to say, extremely highly persecuted. And he said, "You kept my word and did not deny my name." We need to bind the strong man. We need to realize the power of the cross and the effectiveness of Jesus' blood. Right? Revelation, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood through faith." This was to show God's righteousness because his divine forbearance he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. We need to realize the completeness of Jesus' blood. The completeness of what Christ did on the cross. There's nothing else that needs to be done. He completely washed away sin. He completely washed away guilt. He completely set people free. You have to have a revelation of the blood of Christ, of what is done in your own life. How do you bring that to somebody else if you don't know what he's done in your life? The redemption. He suffered death as a penalty for our sins. He annulled the guilt of the sinner. Not just annulled the sin, but annulled the guilt. All through his blood. And the last thing we need to do is we need to pray. The Bible says so many times, pray at all times, pray without ceasing, pray in the Spirit, pray with understanding, intercede like Daniel. Pray for the Holy Spirit to convict the lost. John 16:7-11, he says, however, this is Jesus talking, he says, "I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness and about judgment." So why are we not praying for sin, righteousness, and judgment? That people's eyes are opened to their sin. See, we want to pray for things and we just want to pray people's blessings on everything. We're not praying for them to actually turn away from their sin and turn towards God. Yeah. Included in prayer is pray and fast. People don't like to fast. I don't like to fast. But it's a part of our discipline of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to end with Matthew 17:15-21. And a man says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often in the water. And so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus said, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Demonic activity. They caused illness. Yep. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And so Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. Mm-hmm. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. He says it right there. He's like, you want to come against Satan, you need to pray and fast and prepare yourself to come against Satan. Whether or not it's that increase of belief, increase of faith, whatever it is, but it's prayer coupled with fasting in order to overcome the things of the enemy. Prayer and fasting coupled together so we can overcome the enemy. Folks, we as a church, we need to start walking in this authority. Seriously, if we are going to win this world or even our city for Christ, we've got to bring light into their darkness. We've got to make a difference. I'm not just saying go and feed people. Go out and do healing in Jesus' name. Come against the enemy in Jesus' name. Come against spiritual wickedness in Jesus' name. We've got to understand this, that we've been given this authority to bring the kingdom of God into the world and take back the captives from the enemy in the name of Jesus. It's time to get serious about it. Seriously. All right. Amen. I just, you know what, I really want to pray for just some things tonight. So as we pray, man, if you got something in your life and this just ministered to you, man, I just want you to just call out to him right now, and we're going to pray over those things. I really felt like God wanted me to pray against addiction. I really felt that as I was up here tonight. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for this word, God. I thank you for the authority, God, that you have given us to bind and loose things, Father God, to come against the enemy in Jesus' name, God, to tear down the enemy's kingdom for Jesus. Father, I pray that we can walk this out in our life, Father, that as we walk, God, that we are like Peter, that we are like Paul, Father, that silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, I give to you. The Holy Spirit living inside me, I give to you. I bring it out. I bring light into your situation in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we were meant to bring light into the darkness. Father God, I come against every addiction in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against it right now by the authority that you've given me in the name of Jesus. I come against every addiction in the name of Jesus. I come against pills. I come against drugs. I come against alcohol. I come against sex. I come against every addiction right now in Jesus' name, and I command it to be loosed. I command them to be set free tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. An enemy, you have no power nor authority over them. Don't go back to that which God brings you out of. Don't go back to your vomit. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this authority, Father. I pray for such a revelation in our spirit to take down the enemy's camp. Father God, to go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. Let that be a revelation in our spirit tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor in Jesus' name. Amen.